Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
All right, here we go. Our number three of our radio program. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Could also hit us up on Twitter, at Zach Gelb. If you're just getting into your car or just tuning into us on the radio.com application, we're still discussing the aftermath from yesterday as the Houston Astros have parted way with both A.J. Hinch and also Jeff Luhnow. And then just a few minutes ago, we did find out that the Boston Red Sox are moving on from their manager in Alex Cora with his role in the Astros scandal. And we'll see what does come out of the allegations against the Red Sox in their scandal as well. Now to talk about it all is Nelson Figueroa, former big league pitcher, did pitch for the Mets, also the Phillies, and a few other stops as well. Also the Astros too. And he's kind enough to join us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Nelly, thank you for making some time on some short notice, and how are you?
I'm doing well down here in fantasy camp with the Mets. And when the news broke, it was kind of a little bit of shock, and then kind of felt like it was the right thing to do, nip it in the bud and set a precedent that it will not be tolerated.
Yes, this was an interesting decision. I had a feeling that the Red Sox were going to move on from Cora. You kind of just had to wait and see when that was going to happen. Were they going to wait for MLB to hand down his punishment? And clearly today with that news, they elected not to do so. But it's wild. Luhnow now without a job, Hinch without a job, and Alex Cora. Who would have been able to predict that a few months ago?
Yeah, without a doubt. And these organizations who were kind of on the cusp of analytics and everybody was praising them, and now all of a sudden you're seeing how when you take an edge and go a little too far in the use of the technology, stealing the signs in real time. I mean, listen, you can get the video all you want with HD video. You can watch afterwards and figure out the sequences of signs and gain an edge that way. There was a relaying of signs that the Astros have been known to do for years and years against the Yankees, against Paxton. He tips his pitches. They were able to relay those signs from second base, give the hitter an advantage to know what was coming. It's still a very difficult game. You can know what's coming and still not be able to hit it. So how much of an advantage did they gain? I really can't say. As we've been discussing this, all the former players at great length, we've been having some very animated, heated discussions about even the banging of the garbage can with 46,000 people screaming and yelling. There's thunder sticks in the crowd. They're banging on seats. They're trying to get their team to rally. And you really think that they can hear one garbage can that's in a clubhouse already where you can't have it amplified? It's not as if the noise is going to be sounding so different than anybody else banging. And you have to decipher all that in 4 seconds or less while a 98-mile-an-hour fastball or slider is coming in. I don't see how it could happen that much in real time, but as a training tool to know what to look for, absolutely.
Then why do it? You know, if you don't think it's that maybe that much of an advantage, then why do it?
Well, I think what it comes down to, like I said, if you're a base runner and you're looking in for the signs anyway, now you can't make a you're going to make a base runner not looking for the signs if he's at second base. I call that cheating. It's always been done. You're looking in for any advantage. So if you can figure out the sequence and you know that there's a breaking ball coming, maybe you get off a little bit more on your secondary. Ball gets in the dirt. Now you have the advantage of getting to third base because you were able to take an extra step because you did the preparation ahead of time to know that, hey, when we play against the Toronto Blue Jays, they like to use, you know, second sign, or they like to use first sign after they put down a three. This way it gives you that little bit of an advantage. That kind of thing has gone on for centuries. It's just now with the technology and the HD cameras, using it in real time is really where I think MLB has come down and slapped down hard with those penalties.
Nelson Figueroa here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go person by person in this situation. When we look at A.J. Hinch, the manager, it seemed as if he didn't want this going on, but then you could question that as well. I know that he did smash the two monitors, but you're responsible for that clubhouse and for your staff. It's very interesting to me how he went to the level to smash the monitors, but still didn't put an end to it.
Yeah, that's, again, I feel that as a leader and as the manager, you have to either be considered all in or all out. Smashing of the monitors, that could happen after a bad game. You could say, well, there is proof that I smashed monitors. That wasn't necessarily you were trying to smash it to stop it, because stopping it would have been just to pull the plug on the whole operation. I get that, you know, whatever advantage was feeling like they were gained, you can't say how many players were in on it, and I don't feel like there was advantage. I watched several of the different tapes, and with the sound and the audio that they used, several of the different tapes show that the Astros were losing in 3 out of the 4 games I watched. So how much of an advantage was it? And you can't say how it directly impacted, because they, in the World Series that they won, the Astros, they won on the road against the Dodgers. So they were able to win on the road against the Dodgers, not using the system. And they won in the playoffs on the road as well. So it's not a foolproof system, as not a lot of things are in baseball.
But you know what the Yankee fan is going to say? They lost every home game. They had to go on the road to Houston. They lost every home game. That's what the Yankee fan is going to say, too.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I mean, look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers now 2 times.
Sure.
Where they got both their World Series opportunities taken away from them. So, listen, this is kind of an unwritten rule of baseball where there are certain things that are attempted to do to gain an advantage. It's that use of technology. They got beat with it before the Red Sox did with the using of the iWatch. Never knew exactly how they used it. It just was told that they felt like they were using that technology in an improper manner, not allowed to wear the iWatch during a game. They have the iPads on every team. They're in the dugouts already with running film and running tape of guys at bats and being able to watch at bats of previous at bats against the pitcher. And so for me, it's there has to be a limit of how you do these things. It's almost like when the NFL went to the Bluetooth headsets, the communication systems. What if there's a way to hack that? And then you know every single signal that's being called, every single play that's being called. And if you could do it, would you do it? New England Patriots seem to kind of dance that line every other season.
Nelson Figueroa here with us on CBS Sports Radio. I was reading the statement from Jeff Luhnow yesterday where he said he was not a cheater and he said he didn't personally direct it. Then talked about how a lot of this was executed by the players, the video decoding people as well, and lower-level employees, and also the bench coach as well. What did you make of the Luhnow situation? Because I thought Hinch issued a statement that at least you thought that he was sorry. For Luhnow, I didn't really get that tone from him yesterday.
Yeah, because if it's happening in real time, it's happening during the games. The GM isn't inside the clubhouse or in the dugout during the games where they're doing that kind of operation. The players trying, again, to gain an edge, watching extra video, but happening in real time is where I think the differentiation has to be taken, because for A.J. Hinch being the guy in charge and seeing what is happening, you know the ramifications if that kind of thing it gets out there, that level of using the technology. It's almost like you know it's going to get taken away and possibly banned from using it. Could you imagine just now they can't use any iPads or any kind of electronics at all? You got to go back old school and bring out your own little book that you've been keeping on different pictures and whatnot. So I think when you look at it from the GM perspective, you know, he's in the game. He's in the ballpark before the game, after the game, during the game. He's usually up in the suite and overwatching things. I don't know if he had access or seen it in action to really say much about it. So I can believe that it was a players run thing, and I've seen it as a training tool. Trust me, because you have older players used to be still with teams to watch from the sidelines or from the dugout and be able to pick out, hey, listen, this guy, when he holds his glove this way, it's his fastball. When he kind of rocks back, it's his slider. And that's something that, hey, everybody, come up to the top step. Let's watch it again. You can see when a guy's tipping. And then you pass around that information to gain an edge. And that's with the naked eye. You know, you got these veteran experienced players that used to do that. Now that there's not those guys around anymore, the 30-somethings, the game has gotten younger and younger, and now they're going to the technology to kind of get that edge and that advantage. And they used it to their advantage somewhat, but I don't know if you could ever prove that in a game of baseball. There's just too much left to chance. Hitting a baseball is the most difficult thing to do in all sports.
So do you think some of this is maybe unfair? Do you think some of this is getting blown out of proportion? I'm trying to get where your read is at.
No, the punishment has to fit the crime. Okay, so I think the punishment, I'm fine with the punishment.
Gotcha.
Because what you want to do is you want to nip it in the bud for no one to ever try and do it again. I saw Roy Oswalt's quote saying about, you know, how steroids in the game were much more conducive of cheating and trying to gain an advantage, and yet you won't go back and, you know, fire managers or fire coaches for things of that nature. I look at it at this. Every single year, your team is trying to gain an advantage. Your team is hiring more people to be in the analytical department. Your team is trying to gain an edge and to see what trends are happening in the game. So all of that, and using technology to do so, it was almost inevitable that it was going to happen. You have these HD cameras that for the broadcast are zoomed in on the guy's signs, and not everybody knows what to look for, but when a trained eye is looking at these things, like an Alex Cora, and then he's able to decipher, you know, what's going on and give his team an advantage, that's where I think, again, if it's happening with the naked eye, great. If it's something blatant that is obvious, where the guy's tipping his pitches, that's understandable. It's been done for baseball since the beginning of time. I think it really has to do with the technology, and as they wanted to use the technology and embrace it and kind of change the game that way, I just think that it's an unfair advantage, and they wanted to make sure that no one tries to take it even a step further.
Nelson Figueroa here with us. So we have stuff that has come out about the Astros, Luno, and also Hinch out. More's going to be coming about the Red Sox. Cora already out before his punishment did get handed down. How much more do you think is going to come out of this situation with maybe other teams as well when more and more people start talking?
Yeah, this is where now you have to go almost to every ballpark and see how their cameras are set up. If for different broadcasts, you have different camera areas, you have different cameras for different things. There's, you know, they use them sometimes during batting practice. They use them. So there's a million different cameras and a million different angles. And while the broadcast side of things, you're watching the game in real time. Those aren't normally privy and access to fans and inside of the clubhouse. There's a channel that kind of flows directly to the broadcast team, and that is used for, you know, if a key situation, they're showing a guy giving signs and things of that nature, but it's not on all the time. So I don't know if they're going to have to regulate that in a way like never before.
Two more with Nelson Figueroa here with us. When it comes to Hinch, Luno, and Cora, where do you think their baseball future is?
Murky at best. I think it's going to be difficult to imagine, because I think baseball is one of those sports where the integrity of the game is very important. And when something like this happens, ownership all the way around is going to have to – there are a lot of people who can manage. And in this day and age, you're seeing managers who are being given opportunity who maybe wouldn't have in the past. So now these two guys who are world champion managers, that pedigree would have been something that they could have made a career off of. Now their legacy is left tainted, very much so. And I don't think really many people are going to try and touch that unless somehow they're acquitted of it and they get a second chance. I think everybody deserves a second chance, but when it comes to the game of baseball, Pete Rose has been out for a long, long time, and it wasn't because of the way he played the game.
Are you okay with no punitive action happening to players?
Because you can't prove that everyone did it or didn't do it.
Gotcha.
I just, you know what I mean? Like, if it was happening and you're saying that there's a video guy banging on a trash can to give, you know, I guess, some forewarning that a pitch is coming, and he's doing it all the time throughout the game. Is he doing it only for certain hitters? Is he doing it on only certain innings? That's something that they did the investigation, so they know a lot more than I do. And if they don't feel, and Rob Manfred doesn't feel like it's something that needs to ride on the players, but more so the integrity of the game by the management in the front office, I think that's where you kind of hold it sacred. Players will come and go, and those players have already come and gone. So do you punish the other teams now who are paying these players money to be on their organization? And I don't think it gets very, very tricky in that essence. So I don't see players really feeling the brunt of this.
Well, now here's the interesting one, because we know what the Astros and Red Sox just did in the last 2 days. Beltran was a player when it happened, and I know you know him very well as a former teammate. Now he's a manager. The Mets haven't said anything about this, so I'm very curious what is going to happen to Carlos Beltran. What do you think happens with the now Mets skipper?
Well, I think with the Astros, punishments that have been handed down, and they've already said definitively that players weren't going to be reprimanded in this, I think he's safe when it came to Cora. This is part of two different investigations, and I think that's where the Red Sox thought there is going to be a punishment coming down. They could foresee it, and they wanted to do something now and give a new manager an opportunity to get with his ball club and the organization the sooner the better, so that they can try and move past this as soon as possible.
I'll be very curious to see what the Mets do, because you're right, it was a player when it happened, but now he's a manager. So I just wonder how that's perceived in baseball circles, with even though it happened when he was a player, but now he's being a manager, he gets held to a different standard.
Absolutely, and I think he's going to be watched very closely. So if he wasn't already under some scrutiny being a first-time manager in New York, now definitely after this whole scandal, he's going to be watched very, very carefully for any little thing that goes on. So it's just made life a little bit tougher for him as a first-year manager in New York.
Last one for Nelson Figueroa. I didn't hate the Beltran hire when they made it. However, I wanted Joe Girardi to be the next manager. What did you make of the Beltran hire initially, knowing him and playing with him?
I think it was a very good move for the organization. It's very rare that you have a superstar, a former player, in this day and age, especially because normally they don't. It's not like they're doing it for the money, that want to come around and risk their not only their playing reputation. You know, got a Hall of Fame type career on the line, where now he wants to do something to make his mark as a manager, and he's been a student of the game. I mean, back in the days when we played together in 2008 and 9, he was a leader in the WBC teams, and in a way that no coach that we had could ever be. And he was kind of that extra coach on the field, the way that he saw the game, the perspective. They normally say catchers make the best managers, right? And that's because they're sitting there watching everything in front of them. Well, the center fielder has a pretty good view, too, of everything going on. And there's been many, many a time I could see, you know, him probably sitting there watching the pitcher tire, seeing him struggling with his mechanics, and he's probably playing that scenario in his head. Who would I bring in? Who should I make? And then turn around, and lo and behold, he wants to warm up the same guy. So he's played all these scenarios out in his head, and you can see him as he's gotten older. He's sitting right next to A.J. Hinch most of the game as the DH in Houston, trying to soak it all up, trying to soak it all in, and then going to the Yankees and being part of the front office, you know, and learning the new analytics like never before. I think he's done a lot of homework, and I'm excited for him to get the opportunity to take the test.
Hey, Nelly, I really do appreciate you carving out some time for us on such short notice and reacting to the breaking news in baseball. We appreciate the fascinating insight.
Anytime. You got it.
There's Nelson Figueroa. It's a Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Astros lead 5-1. Pitch on the way. Ground ball right side into the shift to his left. Altuve has it in short right. Throws to first. And the Astros are 2017 World Series champions.
Give us a call right now. 855-212 for CBS. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Just what a wild, wild last 48 hours for baseball. You knew the punishment was coming down, and you knew it was going to be severe from Major League Baseball. They hit Luno. They hit A.J. Hinch, and I thought it was right with a year suspension. A $5 million fine. I know people are going to say, well, Zach, $5 million is nothing. It's the most they were allowed to do so by the rules and guidelines. So that's the most they were allowed to do. So they went to the extreme, and then they did dock a 2020 first-round draft pick, a 2021 first-round draft pick, and also second round draft picks from both 2020 and 2021 as well. So I thought that was pretty significant, and I thought that did send a message that, hey, even though Luno and Hinch didn't orchestrate the scheme, we're going to hold you accountable for the players. Now, let's be real. Baseball was not going to suspend the players here because you would go through every process, who's telling the truth, who's not telling the truth, and all that. And also, you are going to significantly damage a money-making franchise and a popular franchise if you take away, let's just say, Altuve, Correa, Bregman, and Springer. So baseball put the manager who's in charge of the players and then the president who's in charge of everybody else and also the manager, they put them on the chopping block. You're not going to punish the owner. We know that. They actually made the owner end up looking good, whether that was behind the scenes or not, where they had the owner, Jim Crane, get on out there and say, we're going to fire Luno, we're going to fire A.J. Hinch, this is unacceptable. So that's the Houston Astros. The Red Sox, the one that looks the worst out of this entire thing, and the one that's been getting thrown under the bus, as he should be, is Alex Cora. Because Cora's with the Astros, you have the situation, him and Beltran, him and other players started this, and then you also did have him with the Red Sox, and we see what did go down with the Boston Red Sox. So Cora, and I thought Lidge was dead on, if Hinch and Luno got a year, you know you were going to get more than a year for Alex Cora, probably 2 years. So you were going to get a 2-year suspension. Then the question was for the Red Sox, do you get out in front of this, and do you part ways to try to control the narrative, which in reality you don't control most of this narrative, and they decided to dismiss Alex Cora today. And then you got the Beltran side of it too. And who knows what other angles are going to come out of this, but the Beltran one is so difficult right now. Because if you're Beltran, and you know how the Mets work, the Mets are just not going to fire a new manager unless if they're going to be able to save some money out of this. And they're going to get put off the salary, and they could keep this off the books. And here are the interesting things to look at with the Mets. Beltran has denied any wrongdoing publicly when speaking to the media. We know that's not the case from what did transpire with this investigation, where you hear that Beltran told everything and was transparent. So here's the things that I look at. Number one, in the interview process with the Mets, did he lie? Because if he did then lie, the Mets could fire him with cause. But if he didn't lie, here's what Beltran's going to say. Beltran's going to say, you could fire me, but you have to pay me. Because no other players got punished in this situation. This is not Bounty Gate, where you had Vilma, who was suspended. You had Scott Fujita suspended as well, and a few other players too. This is no players are getting punished. Beltran was a player at the time, but now he's a manager. And he got promoted to a very important and significant job. And I know I see all the jokes on Twitter. His punishment should be, yes, to manage the Mets. Ha, 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 ha. And yes, it's funny. I totally get that. The organization that I root for, the team that I root for, they are usually a punchline to a lot of jokes. That situation to me, I would love to have a definitive yes or no take, but I find it such a complex and a complicated situation. Because the Mets' silence right now, once again, could be interpreted in two ways. One, they're panicking. They're thinking behind the scenes, how are they going to plan out this exit situation? And they're talking to their lawyers right now because it is a litigious situation if you do dismiss them. And then the other is the silence is the wait game. Let people say what they want in all these talk shows, our talk show too. Let the media kill us. Let baseball people kill us. And let's just take the hit right now and then hopefully nothing else comes out about Beltran, and then this starts to fade away, and you have him managing the Mets. So the Mets have a decision right now. Do you fire him even though no players are getting suspended here? Or do you say, we're going to keep him as the manager? D-Ben, right now, What does your gut tell you? Yes or no? Let's do this around the table, then I'll give an answer too. Yes or no, Beltran is managing opening day next year for the Mets?
Yes, purely because of money.
Mike Biseglia, yes or no?
No.
Jay Berman, yes or no, Beltran manages game one next year for the Mets?
Yes.
I'm going to say, with great skepticism, yes. That's what I'm going to say. Don't feel great about it right now, because the silence could be interpreted in many different ways. But here you go. The Mets hire Carlos Beltran. He's involved with the Astros scandal. And right now, if you look at it, the Astros fire their general manager and president. The Red Sox fired their manager, who was involved in Houston, and there's probably going to be more coming with the Red Sox and what we're going to find out. And then you have Carlos Beltran, who once again was a player. And the players are getting no blame here, and there's no actions against the players, but now he's a manager. There's a lot of a gray area right here, and I'm curious what baseball's going to say to the Mets behind the scenes. Do you think Carlos Beltran should be fired? Even though what he did as a player, should he be held accountable for now as a manager? And look at what that Astros situation has done. That Astros situation has impacted the Astros. It has then branched off into now impacting the Red Sox, who thought they had their manager for the next 10 years. It also is now impacting the Mets, and who knows who else is involved. I don't believe in stripping away a title. I don't believe in vacating a title, but you're going to have a lot of other fans who are furious too. Yankee fans are going to be annoyed. Dodger fans are going to be annoyed as well. And this is going to be a huge topic for baseball for a long time. The Mets may think that they could maybe get this story and move on from this story. And eventually, time does heal all wounds. And people will always talk about it. But also what the Mets have to think too is, if you keep this guy, what happens if you have a successful season? Do you really want to put up with people saying over and over again, yeah, they won 93 games, but he comes from the Houston Astros tree, so who knows what actually could be going on? So there's a lot on the line here. But right now, the Mets silence, and I'll agree with D-Ben too when we bring up the money point. If they can't fire him for cause, they're going to keep this guy. They're paying Callaway. I think they just finished paying Terry Collins, and I know he's still with the organization. Are you going to have to pay a manager here for whatever it was, 3 years, whatever the contract is? Are they going to pay him? Unless if he's managing, I don't think that they're just going to dismiss him so quickly. What I should say is, if he wants to get his money, he's going to have to manage the team. That's what's going to have to happen. Are the Mets going to move forward here? And you know the New York media. Here's what the Mets don't have working with them. The New York media is going to be on this team and this story like hawks, because Beltran did not get off to the best foot. Even though he was respected as a player, even though baseball people like him, he lied to the New York media. And now, where this goes next and what turn this takes next is very, very interesting. So Cora, gone. Luno, gone. Hinch, gone. Beltran, to be determined. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The Player of the Week is brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Derrick Henry. To no surprise, Henry rushed for 195 yards. And here's the surprising part, though. He threw for a touchdown as the Titans stunned the top-seeded Ravens 28-12 in Baltimore. The other surprising part, but Henry's been an absolute beast the last 3 weeks, this entire season as well, leading the league in rushing for this past season. And the Player of the Week was sponsored by Granger. Delivering the products that keep your facility running is what Granger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Granger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
What a wild day with baseball breaking news. We have some NFL breaking news as well. We'll get to it in just a second. Alex Boone going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll chat football with him. We had to push CJ Spiller back to 9:40 p.m. Eastern because of all the Cora madness. So we appreciate CJ Spiller being flexible with us. And let me remind you, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Luke Kuechly has just retired. The Panthers linebacker has retired from the National Football League. He's 28 years old. He's turning 29, I believe, rather soon. But you have April, what was the date? You could say that. April 20th? So April 20th, he's turning 29 years old. So Luke Kuechly has retired from the National Football League. I can't say I'm stunned by this. And he's someone that has suffered a ton of concussions. I love the way that he plays from his days at BC and then what he was able to do with Carolina. And that shows you what is the nasty, ugly part of this sport. Where when your body continues to take a beating, this game that you love turns into it not being fun anymore. And we've seen this a few times over the last few years. Calvin Johnson, he got out early. Andrew Luck, he got out early. Rob Gronkowski, he described the pain that he was in and how he couldn't even sleep after winning Super Bowl 53, and he got out what was considered early. The NFL is a brutal, violent, malicious game that we all love. And there's warriors on that football field that day in and day out grind away. Sure, they're getting lucrative contracts. And in Kuechly's case and in Luck's case and in Gronkowski's case, they have more money than anybody can imagine. But it comes at a heavy, and I mean a heavy price, where your body has to go through some ugly, ugly, ugly things. And it doesn't surprise me with what we're seeing in the league right now, where guys are getting out a few years earlier rather than a few years later. I don't blame a player at any time. I don't care if they played one snap. I don't care if they played 1 year. I don't care if they played 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, 15 years, whenever. They don't owe anything to their teams if they want to say it's time to get out of the sport and move on. And even though they love the relationship with the fans, they don't owe anything to the fans either. Yes, fans go to pay money to see these players. Yes, those contracts are so high because of fans and TV deals and all that. But these players, they could get quickly moved on from by a team if their body's not in the right spot. Yes, the guaranteed money still has to be paid their way and all that, but there's a lot of times we see players sign 4-5 year contracts where, hey, there's $30 million guaranteed, but there's $70 million total on the contract, team moves on, and then they lose out on a lot of that money. So I don't call any player that elects to retire disloyal. I don't think it's gutless at all. I actually think it's courageous. And I know a lot of people said about Andrew Luck, hey, it's weak. Oh, he's a quitter. You could have done so sooner. Rob Gronkowski, he held the Patriots hostage, and they could have replaced him easier. I don't care. You have every single right to make that decision when you want to make the decision. It could be scrutinized. It could be criticized. You could get lambasted for it publicly. You could get booed off the field. As disgraceful as that was, you could get booed off the field like Andrew Luck was during that preseason game. But they're the ones that have to live after football. They're the ones that have to wake up day in and day out and maybe go to work and say, I don't love this anymore. My body is getting bruised. My body's getting beat up. I'm suffering concussions. I'm suffering back injuries, shoulder injuries, leg injuries. I've made my money. I've set my family up. And I set my kids up and their kids up and their kids up for the future and many more in that lineage, in that family. And it's time to get out. So it is upsetting. It is somber news when you lose such a great player in the game, and he's going to retire, and we'll see what he does. Maybe he coaches. Who knows? So that is upsetting. However, I'm not going to sit there, and you shouldn't sit there, and you should not fault the player for getting out when they want to, because they're allowed to. They've earned that right. And that's a thing that I've seen over the last few years. And I understand how delicate of a situation it is. I understand probably the most part it isn't mean-spirited because fans care so much and they're so passionate. But let's be real here. Why would you want to wake up when you don't have to work another day in your life? Why would you want to wake up and you suffered injury after injury that could affect you long term? Why would you want to keep on putting yourself in that situation? And the Panthers right now are in a rebuild. They're in a rebuild. It's not like this team's ready to win a Super Bowl. Now, I know there's a bright future in Carolina bringing in Matt Rhule, now bringing in Joe Brady as well. You have David Tepper in there too, the owner, and he's showing you right now with these hires, he's willing to do whatever it takes. But Rome wasn't built in one day. So if you were Kuechly and you had a team that was ready to win a Super Bowl, maybe it's different on your decision-making because of how close you were a few years ago. But when you look at all these situations and factors, yes, you get the news and you say, wow, he just retired. But when you look at the situation, he's made his money, he's injured all the time, and now he elected to walk away. We've seen this before in the NFL. We've seen careers not be as long as they should be because of injuries. And with the awareness of this now, with it no longer being, oh, you're weak if you retire, oh, you're a quitter, and I think how logical people process it. And I think there's more of an understanding. Not everyone's understanding of it. You'll never get everyone understanding of everything. But with how many situations we've seen over the last few years, of the last 5 years, of guys walking away, it's becoming more acceptable. And I'll go back to Luck. I think what Luck did was extremely courageous because he made a promise to himself earlier on in his career when he had these injuries, when he had to sit out a full season. He made that promise to himself that if it ever got to this spot again, even with how young he is, he would walk away from the game. And that's why people ask me all the time, do you think Luck is ever going to return? We had Oliver Luck in studio. He didn't give any indication his son was returning. He didn't think that was likely because these guys know how bad it could get. We just see these football players show up and we go, wow, we expect Calvin Johnson to be there each and every week and be in Megatron. We expect Luck to be there each and every week and being dominant from Stanford to the pros. We expect Gronk to just be this destructible force each and every week. Luke Kuechly to be a destructible force each and every week. And even though they may be on the field throwing touchdown passes, catching touchdown passes, doing the spikes, making ridiculous tackles, these guys are in so much pain. And I read articles before that I think it was Gronk who someone said, what do you say to football players that don't believe or people that believe that football players aren't tough anymore? Or something like along those guidelines of the question. He said, well, after each and every game on Monday, I feel as if I went through 9 or 10 car accidents or a major car wreck. So if guys want to say, I'm going to make my money, I'm going to play, I'm going to give everything I got, and then I'm going to elect to retire, why should I criticize that? Why should you criticize that? Because these guys are putting their body on the line. Yes, they're getting paid a handsome reward and a big-time price, but in 5 years... And maybe if you get out a little bit early, maybe in 5 years, your body's not in that awful of a spot. Maybe you could walk for the rest of your life and play with your grandkids and all that. And maybe save some of your brain. So there you go. Luke Kuechly. Feel awful. He retired, such a fun, spirited, passionate player. He retired, and I wish him and his family the best. As it's another situation where a player retires, and it's younger than what you thought a player would retire at. He did release a statement on the Panthers website. We'll try to squeeze that in sometime before we sign off in the next hour. But congratulations to Luke Kuechly. And that was a heck of a career, a really phenomenal career. And it's unfortunate that it ends soon, but it is commendable because he recognized with all that he's going through, he felt it was time to move on, and I can't fault someone for doing as such. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We talk Kuechly, we talk NFL playoffs next. Alex Boone, former offensive lineman, will join us. You don't want to miss it. It's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio across our great CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM 206, and also the Radio.com application. Don't go anywhere. Boone, Alex Boone, joins us next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.